Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege that we have to spend a few minutes over the Word. And we pray, Father, that it might be beneficial, not for just for today, but for the rest of our lives. We give you thanks for the wisdom that we find within the pages. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a couple of lines stood out in the hymns that we were singing. I'll just read them real quick. Number 81, I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I found. You can depend on him. It matters not where you're bound. Number 150, farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in this sunshine. We'll understand. We'll understand it all by and by. How many of you have been to this camp before? You've been here before? Some of you, a lot of you have. Did anybody have to look up directions to get here? Quite a few of you did. That's good. Has anybody gone anywhere without asking directions or finding the directions before they left and regretted it later on? Yeah, it's interesting. A lot more men raise their hands than women. I thought that was interesting. It reminds me of a verse in Acts. We're not going to spend a lot of time at this verse, but it reminds me of this verse in Acts. I'll read it in the King James first, but then again I'll read it in another translation that uses a different word that I think more of us will probably understand. Acts chapter 10 and verse 17. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. I'll read it in another translation here, so in a more more of a language that I speak, I guess. Acts chapter 10, verse 17, it says, now, when Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. Now, I have been to this camp probably about 6 or 7 times. But it has been a while since I've been here, and I knew that if I did not ask directions, I would not have appeared at the gate. I knew that because there's many times in my life that I didn't ask directions, or I set out to go someplace and I regretted that I was very late, or a few times I've just turned around and went back home because it was just too late to make it there. But I think especially for men, we have that habit of having a lot of self-confidence that we could do things on our own and that we don't need to ask directions. We do that quite a bit. And that's a fault that I think men in general have. Women are a little bit more cautious, I think, probably a little frustrated with their husbands sometimes, maybe. I was told that this was a talk to young people, and I asked one time when I first came amongst the gathered saints, what is the definition of a young person? And they said, well, up until you get married, you're a young person. So at the time, I didn't think that I would be this young for so long. And so I guess I'm going to direct my talk to probably those who are in high school, maybe middle school, or maybe they just find themselves not married, being a little bit older. It's still relevant. A year or so ago, a sister in our assembly asked me a question. There's a group of us. How do we know what the will of God is? It's a very powerful question, and it's stuck with me all this time. A lot of us feel very confident, especially when we're young, that we know what the will of God is for us. And then over the course of time, we recognize that what has transpired is not what we expected. Very different. Perhaps we've made mistakes. Perhaps certain dreams and aspirations never came to fruition. How would you answer that question? How do you know what the will of God is? When I was in college, one of my professors stood up in front of the class and he said, "I know what the will of God is for your life." And he asked us if we believed him. Most of us didn't believe him. The man had a lot of confidence to stand up there and say that he knew the will of God for our lives. I'll read you a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." Well, I'm not going to speak very much on that. If you have trouble understanding what those words mean, go to your parents. But I'm not naive. And it would be a mistake for many of us to be naive. But there is a way that God would want us to live our lives for him. And there is an expectation in our conduct with one another that he would have us live in such a way that it would be honorable for me, for other people in my life, but also honorable before God. There's another verse here in the next chapter. Let's start in verse 16. You can read before that. It has some more verses on our conduct and how we live, but I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about conduct because I want to get to the answer of what is God's will for our life. There's a verse here, verse 16. It says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We know that God has a will for us in our conduct, but it's a little bit more mysterious as to what God's will is for our life, where our life will go. If I was to give this talk to myself sitting over there, what would I say? I would say, be very careful with what you dream, what you aspire for, and what you hope for. Be very careful in how you imagine your life to be. And the reason why I say that is because if you talk to anyone who has any life experience ahead of behind them, they will tell you that when they look back, they didn't know that that was the road that they were going to be on. And along that road, there was heartbreak and disappointment. There is discouragement. And there is tears. Perhaps some hurt. I don't mean to say that to discourage you. That's not my goal. But I would be wrong to stand up here and to tell you that everything that you dream and hope for in life is going to come to fruition, because it's not. But if you have confidence in God, you can have the confidence to give thanks in everything. Because when you reach that point further in life, you will understand that you would not be the person you are if all of those things did not happen. It's how God makes us who we are when you get to this age. We can point back and we can say, I'm thankful for those tears. I'm thankful for that hurt. And I'm thankful for that disappointment. Let's go to James. How do you know the will of God for your life? James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Well, we have a resource in understanding what the will of God is, and that is God Himself. So what I believe that this speaks to is our need to be dependent upon God in prayer. because there's not one of us, of the older ones, that can tell you with all honesty that the easiest times in life were the times that they did not pray. They will probably tell you that it was the most difficult times. It doesn't mean that it was an easy going, but I think what it means is that when we spend our time in the companionship of God in prayer, that when the difficult times come along, we are in that state of communication with God. And part of that is listening to him. We as humans and you'll understand this when you get older, we have we lean towards answering our own prayers, telling ourselves what the will of God is for us so loudly that we can't hear God speak. In my business, people come to me for knowledge. They have a problem and they want to solve their problem. And they come to me because they believe that I have the answers. And there are a number of times when I give them the answer, but they are so set in their way. They believe that they already have the answer, and they can't hear it when I give them the answer. So we need to be very careful to listen to God when he gives us his wisdom. I want to read a verse. The sun's going down here, so I want to read a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And that from a child, verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, here again is another source for understanding the will of God, and that is the Word of God. Now, I want to be very careful here, because I did talk about praying and listening to God, and having the understanding that our heart is deceitful, and so we have to check it. God will never give you an answer to your prayers that's contrary to His Word. So you need to go to the Word of God when you think that God has given you an answer. Because He will not compromise His Word. The Word of God comes from God. I believe it literally came from God. It is not something that is made up by men. It came from God. And because it came from God, it will stand the test of time. It will stand the test of our circumstances. It will not let us down. It is a source of wisdom for us. In everything that we do, in every decision we have to make, in the conduct of our life and of our faith, His answers are in the Word of God. You know, I'll just end this way. This morning, when I was getting ready to go to meeting, I knew that I would probably come to this camp. And so I looked for the directions. Now, I told you earlier that I've been here 6 or 7 times already. Those basketball hoops, I played basketball there. The mini golf behind the railroad cars, the cabins, I played mini golf there. Walked around in these hills. But I know that no matter how many times I do things, I cannot do it in independence. I cannot do it without asking directions. I never want to be a person who is so self-confident that I live as if there is no God. The decisions that you make today will have an impact in your life 20, 30 years from now. How you conduct yourself in your relationships with one another is going to have an impact on each and every one of our lives 20, 30, 40 years from now. I received a note yesterday in the mail from a man that I used to work with. It's been 8 years since I've seen him. But he wrote in his letter about things that he remembered about me, how I conducted myself, and how much respect he had for me. And that was encouraging. But there was one more line that he had in there that stuck out to me. It was about a tombstone that a man had seen. And on the tombstone was just a few words. It says, "One more day. One more day." Well, he told me what he thought it meant. But I thought, you know, we can't live as if we have one more day. Each and every one of us, tomorrow is not promised to us. I had absolutely no idea that I would be standing up here talking to you tonight, this morning. I had no idea that I would be talking to you tonight as I was on my way here. I try to make it a habit never to say no when I'm asked to speak, because I believe God always has something on our hearts for us to share. And that was what was on my heart. What would I say to myself if I was wondering what the will of God was for my life? I wish somebody would have shared that with me when I was in junior high or high school. I didn't get saved until I was 19. So I can't, I really don't have any regrets about that, you know. That was my circumstance. But the Lord is faithful. He's good. He's gracious. He's merciful. Let's thank Him. Father, we give You thanks for this privilege that we've had to be over Your word. We trust that it was good. We pray that there might be benefit for each one tonight, but also for the rest of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.